This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Matt Barber, who's the Director of Cultural Affairs at Liberty Council, one of the leading organizations in the country defending religious freedom. He's written on a number of subjects recently, one of which is his contention that the original federal court decision declaring Proposition 8 in California, that's the one that defines marriage as a union of one man and one woman, the federal judge there, Von Walker, declared that unconstitutional. And now Mr. Barber says that decision should be vacated now that it's come to light that Judge Walker is, in fact, a practicing homosexual. And Matt, thanks so much for being with us.
Glad to be with you.
Your contention here is that because this decision could potentially directly affect Judge Walker, that this decision should be vacated. Explain why that ought to be the result here.
Well, sure, and it's not really merely my contention. Federal law is very clear on the topic. The Code of Judicial Conduct requires that a judge step down from a case if that judge has a situation where, quote, the judge's impartiality might be reasonably questioned, or, quote, when he has a financial or any other interest that could be affected substantially by the outcome of the proceeding. And here we have the textbook case for a recusal, the textbook situation where a judge doesn't just have the appearance of a conflict of interest, he has an absolute conflict of interest. And let me explain. Judge Walker was outed, essentially, by the San Francisco Chronicle at the time. They suggested that he was homosexual. He would neither confirm nor deny the fact that he has a long-term live-in male lover. This is something that he has subsequently confirmed. Now, Judge Walker was looking at a situation where they were looking, he had to make a decision on a very novel idea, the idea that a man can marry a man or a woman can marry a woman. And in California, of course, as everywhere else in the country, until the recent spate of judicial activists unilaterally declaring a constitutional right to same-sex marriage, this wasn't something that existed, this right to same-sex marriage. So Judge Walker, specifically in California, was looking to the federal question whether or not the federal constitution, the United States Constitution, grants or granted a man the right to marry a man. As I often say, the right, for Henry Patrick to marry Patrick Henry. Of course, setting aside the argument, it's ridiculous to argue that our founding fathers could have even conceptualized the notion of same-sex marriage, much less determined that it was a constitutional right. This man was looking at a situation where he was placed in a position to grant himself specifically a personal right that he did not previously have. Before he looked at the case and before he made his ruling, he could not enter into a same-sex marriage. If the ruling is upheld, after his ruling, he could enter into a same-sex marriage. He essentially unilaterally and arbitrarily granted himself a newfangled right that he did not previously have. Well, of course, there's a conflict of interest there. Under federal law, he should have recused himself. Unfortunately, he did not, so the only recourse now is for attorneys defending Proposition 8 to move that the case be vacated, which there is a precedent for this kind of thing once it comes to light at a later time that a judge had a conflict of interest.
We're talking with Matt Barber of Liberty Council. And Matt, how far does this conflict of interest line extend? Because you might have some who say, well, a Christian on the Supreme Court shouldn't be voting then on the Ten Commandments case, or someone who might want to own a gun in D.C. shouldn't have weighed in on the Heller decision. So where does that line get drawn?
Yeah, these are apples to oranges comparisons. Again, we're talking about a situation where a judge is granting, it says where the judge would grant himself some specific right or privilege or something that he did not previously have. The conflict is not so much over a general ideology. Certainly there are a lot of people that support same-sex marriage, and so they might have a conflict, a general conflict of interest if they're looking at the case because they ideologically support same-sex marriage. But we're talking about specifically a judge with a conflict, a conflict, a very much personal conflict of interest. And so, I've heard people make this argument that, oh, well, then a heterosexual judge would have to recuse himself because we're talking about same-sex marriage. Well, no, a heterosexual judge is not going to be specifically personally affected by the outcome of the case. Certainly, the institution of marriage is going to be negatively affected if a constitutional right to same-sex marriage is found, but not this the heterosexual judge personally. In a case ruling on the Ten Commandments, if a judge happens to be Christian, he's ruling whether or not a school district in some foreign district across the country can or cannot have the Ten Commandments, he is not looking at a personal conflict of interest. Now, if the judge is sitting on the bench, the Christian, and he's talking about his, he's a known Christian, and he's ruling on a case involving the high school where his kids go to school, I would say that at that point he may have a conflict of interest, a personal conflict of interest, and should recuse himself. So that is a more accurate analogy and comparison than many of them that I've heard bandied about.
Matt, you mentioned also in your piece that you are among the few to urge those defending Prop 8 to ask for the judge to recuse himself, but they never did that. Why?
Yeah, unfortunately, those who defended Prop 8 in this case, and I don't say this subjectively, and I don't just say this as a personal attack on anyone, they did a deficient job in defending it. And what happened was they focus grouped, I think, what is the best way to sell the passage of Prop 8 to a general public without looking like a bunch of homophobes and hate mongers. And they said, we need to focus on surrounding and defending, circling the wagons around the word, protecting the word marriage. And we have to say that this has nothing to do with homosexuality or same-sex attraction, or it only has to do with marriage. Well, anybody looking at this objectively can see that that's nonsense. Of course, this is about homosexuality. And of course, the very real cogent arguments that could be made to defend Proposition 8 by pointing out many of the pitfalls associated with the homosexual lifestyle is a very compelling argument to make. And unfortunately, they focus grouped the strategy to get it passed. They did not. They applied that same strategy to the legal case, which you have to put the most compelling and probative evidence forward. In this case, they chose not to put the most compelling and probative evidence forward, and so they basically gave Judge Walker a hammer to hit him over the head with when he pointed out that they didn't even present a great deal of evidence. So that is where they fell short. And at the time, one of the major issues I brought up was to say, hey, this man apparently has a very clear conflict of interest. You should move that he recuse himself, and you should do it post haste. They did not, and to this day, they still haven't, even since the news has come out that he is indeed a self-identified homosexual. I don't understand it.
And so what happens from here now? The case is obviously past his level, and he's retired. Is this up to the Ninth Circuit now to make any call, if any call is going to be made?
That's right. The case rests with the Ninth Circuit at this point in time, the most overturned circuit in the land and the most liberal circuit in the land. So, where it ends up with them remains to be seen. I would still like to see a vacature motion made on this case. I'm not going to hold my breath, though.
Matt, we'll be watching. Thanks so much for your time, as always.
Anytime.
Matt Barber is Director of Cultural Affairs at Liberty Council. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.